Hi, I'm Vaya Skinner, coordinator for campus communications, and welcome to HCC 360. What exactly is biotechnology? Well, it's a science that combines biology, the study of living things, and technology to create something new. It's a fast-growing field, and you could get started with a biotech career right here at HCC. WHFC student intern Mohamed Bangoura sat down to learn more about it from Jackie Madden, Associate Professor of Biology and Biotechnology. Let's get into it.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your path onto the sciences?
So I have, I think, always liked science. I can't remember a time when I didn't want to do something in science or medicine. So when I went to college, I went to St. Vincent College in Pennsylvania. And I majored in biology and minored in psychology because I thought I wanted to go into becoming an optometrist. But when I was there, I decided I really liked working with small things, like the cells and the DNA and all those little molecules. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 4 years, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. There weren't many jobs in biology in central Pennsylvania at that mm-hmm. point in time. And so I worked in mental health for 4 years as a counselor with children and adolescents. I really enjoyed it, but when we moved to Maryland, I wanted to get back into science, and so I took a job at Johns Hopkins Hospital in their clinical immunology lab, and I really liked it, and it also gave me the opportunity to go back and get my master's while I worked there in biotechnology from Johns Hopkins University. And so once I finished my master's, I worked for a program called SMILE, not the dentistry program, yeah. But this one worked with international labs, mostly in Africa, Asia, South America, who were participating in clinical trials for HIV/AIDS prevention and treatment that were funded by the National Institutes of Health. And it was really, really interesting work. But then I had my son, and so I was, you know, had left that job and needed a little bit of extra money. So I'm like, okay, well, I can teach at Hartford Community College, and I started part-time, and I absolutely fell in love with it, and I was never going to be a teacher. My mom was a science teacher. It was not what I was going to do, and here I am 12 years later. So I'm a professor here in biology and biotechnology, and really excited that we've now had the opportunity to start a new biotech program, which has kind of been my goal mm-hmm. Over the last 10 years once I started full-time here.
Well, you already said that it's new, but how new is the program?
So HCC has had a certificate program for years in biotechnology, but it needed to be updated. And that certificate program was really meant for students who had an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree in biology or another field who wanted additional skills related
to
biotech.
Come back in advance.
Right. And so we were finding that that wasn't really the need in Harford County right now. We have a few students maybe that want that. But most of our students who are interested in biotech are new students that are looking for an associate's degree. And so we had the opportunity to develop an Associates of Applied Sciences degree in biotechnology and to update our certificate so that they're really creating a path for students who want to either go directly into industry or when they leave HCC, or also to have a transfer opportunities for additional education. And it really opens up a lot of opportunities for the residents of Harford County, I think, because this is really a growing field. Yeah.
How big is the field in Maryland?
It's rapidly expanding in Maryland. So we're located in what's called the BioHealth Capital Region, and that's Maryland, D.C., Delaware, and Virginia. And so along the I-95 corridor, about an hour and a half to our south, to about an hour and a half to our north, even up towards Philly, there's a lot of job opportunities. It's a really big corridor. And this region has more than 8,000 bioscience companies, and more than 3,000 of them are in Maryland alone. And there's over 92,000 people employed in this region in the biosciences. And so that's expected to keep increasing. And if you look at the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, they're expecting the demand for biotechnicians to grow faster than average compared to other careers in the next 10 years. And Maryland's really at the forefront of that. The BioHealth region is really growing. And we're currently ranked fourth in the U.S. in biopharma clusters.
Why do you think there's such a sudden growth in the industry in these areas?
Well, I think a lot has to do with what biotech has to offer. Okay, so it's definitely been fueled by the pandemic. You know, we've seen how important biopharmaceuticals, vaccines, you know, mRNA vaccines are really biotechnology. So I think that's kind of had a push, but beyond that, I mean, there's so much that biotech really touches on. So when you talk about what biotech is, it's using living things or their parts to create products, okay, that are going to benefit humans or other organisms or even the environment. And so biotech just impacts a lot of areas. So we tend to think about it for health, and with good reason, because biotech really involves a lot of health. So when we talk about biopharmaceuticals, these are drug products that are produced using living things, okay? So like insulin as an example. Insulin, before 1982, those with diabetes got their insulin from things that were isolated from cow or pig pancreas, okay? And so that was biotech, you know, coming from living things, but it really was a problem, though, because it was difficult to produce enough insulin to treat everyone who had the need for it. And also, humans were having allergic reactions because this was coming from another organism, right?
Yeah, this wasn't efficient.
No, it wasn't efficient. And so it's not sustainable as the population continues to grow. And around the same time, in the late 1970s, there were some scientists doing research on a technique called recombinant DNA technology. And that's just basically taking genetic material, your genes, mm-hmm. from one organism and putting them into another so they can make the products from your genes, okay, so our DNA. And these this investor decided he wanted to form a company using this technology. And they decided that insulin seemed like a good place to start because there was such a great need for it. So the scientists took the human insulin gene from human genetic material, from their DNA, and that's basically the instructions for our cells to make insulin, which is a protein. And the scientists took that copy of the human gene and they put it into bacteria. And so the bacteria then are living things that become little factories to produce that insulin protein for us in large amounts. But the protein they're producing is actually the human one. So we're not having to rely on cow and pig insulin anymore. We actually
it's
have human
made.
Insulin. Yeah. So it's going to prevent those kinds of reactions they were seeing for people that were having allergic reactions. Mm. And so this really transformed the world of medicine. And that's just one example, you know, and we think about it with medicine, with stem cells and gene therapies, but biotech is used in agriculture. You can create drought-resistant and pest-resistant crops, which is going to create more sustainable food sources for the future. You can increase the nutritional content of your crops. So there's something called golden rice, for example, and they took genes that are going to, and put it into rice so that they produce beta-carotene, which is a precursor of vitamin A. And increasing vitamin A helps to prevent blindness. So in countries where it's used as a staple for this rice in their diet, they can actually increase the nutritional content and improve people's lives. We've also got the ability to create more sustainable clean energy sources like biofuels and help clean up the planet. You can use industrial chemicals, things like that are safer, greener cleaners, right? Or dyes that are used in clothing can be produced by biopharmaceuticals. So the possibilities are really, I'm sorry, not biopharmaceuticals, but biotechnology.
Yeah.
So, you know, the possibilities are really endless. It just touches on so many aspects of people's lives.
See, I did not really know. I was thinking, does it have to do with like gene splicing? Is that what that is?
So gene splicing is part of biotechnology, and recombinant DNA that I was talking about with the insulin is pretty similar to that. And there's more going on. You might have heard of things like CRISPR. That's one of those gene editings where they're cutting apart the DNA and putting it back together to help combat diseases like sickle cell anemia and things like that. Yeah.
Again, with the you said what's the capital called?
The biohealth capital region.
The biohealth capital region. So because the East Coast is so heavy in those, do you see a lot of students transferring to universities on that same within that capital?
So yeah, so we've developed our program so that it can be directly go to work, right, or some transfer opportunities. And so right now in Maryland, you know, we have a transfer agreement with the University of Maryland Global Campus. They have a bachelor's degree in biotechnology. And our transfer agreement allows students to complete the first 2 years here. All 60 credits would then transfer into that bachelor's program at UMGC. And so they'd be coming in as juniors in college. We're also working on agreements, though, with Thomas Jefferson University that's in Philadelphia. And it's really funny because actually today one of my previous students stopped by. She transferred there for this semester and was telling me and my intro to biotech class that she's popped into class and was telling us about what she's been doing there at Thomas Jefferson. So it was kind of neat to see that full circle piece coming around.
No, most definitely.
But we're working on articulations or transfer agreements with them so that our students could go into their programs. And then also some other Maryland colleges and universities have not necessarily biotech degrees, but also biotech tracks within their biology degrees. And so we're exploring ways to have our students be able to enter into those programs using credits from our program. And we're a pretty new program. We're less than a year old officially. So we still have a lot of work to do on increasing some of those on-paper agreements, but we're really excited about the possibilities.
Do you think that it's an inclusion of classes that allows for them to use, to be more included, I guess, in more universities?
You know, community colleges are leading the way when it comes to biotechnology training. Mm-hmm. And so you see a lot of associate's degree programs and then kind of this bounce to master's degree programs.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools that I talked about, University of Maryland Global Campus and
Thomas Jefferson,
they both also have master's programs as well as their bachelor's. So it creates that opportunity for like upward mobility, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of students are also able to go right to work after finishing at Hartford and then work while they're obtaining additional, you know, advanced degrees and then move up through companies. And sometimes you can get places that will pay for those degrees, you know. So it's really an opportunity and growing field. And I think it provides people with a lot of different options into how they want to tackle their education and career plans.
Mm-hmm. What kind of classes are incorporated in the program right now?
So we have our Associates of Applied Sciences in Biotechnology. Students in our biotech AAS degree, they take 60 credits. So you have your general education credits, right? Your English, your math, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have six new biotech-specific courses that we've just started. And they're also, those six courses are also the main component that are found in our biotech certificate, which is 32 credits. And so we have an introduction to biotech class where they learn about basic biotech skills and the different areas of biotechnology, kind of giving them an idea of what they're getting themselves into, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then microbial biotechnology is usually the class students take next. And there they focus on how bacteria and other microorganisms can be used to produce our biotechnology products, like insulin that we talked about, or even things like to clean up oil spills, bioremediation. And then we also have four additional classes. One is cell culture techniques, so learning how to grow cells that can be produce our other products or be used to test treatments and things like that. Principles of biomanufacturing, so learning how a biomanufacturing facility works and what the types of jobs are that
go
into
the
ins and outs of producing those products. And then we're going to have in the spring for the first time a molecular techniques course that really gets into the nitty-gritty of using DNA, and also one that's based on immunology, because it's a big part, things like producing antibodies and vaccines of biotech.
What kind of industry partners are you working with now?
So our biotech advisory board has, we have members from universities like UMBC, Shady Grove. We also have members from Harford County Public Schools, so we're kind of getting that path the whole way from, you know, start to finish. But our industry partners include individuals from a variety of fields in Maryland. So we have individuals, Dr. Peter Emanuel from DEVCOM CBC, the U.S. Army, as well as Dr. Jim Dillman, also at Aberdeen Proving Grounds.
Yeah,
and then we also have Greg Merrill from Adaptive Phage Therapeutics, Nina Ajadu from Integrated Pharma Services. And so those are companies that are producing, you know, actual products. In biotech, we have Dr. Nina Lamba from the Institute of Marine and Environmental Technology, IMET, down in the Inner Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a member from the John Kastner from the Northeast Maryland Technological Council. So we have a large number of people that are involved in giving us feedback into what fields, what things people are looking for in industry.
Are you looking at any hospitals?
So that's a good question. As far as hospitals, we're looking into, some students are interested in what's called medical laboratory science, which is closely related to working in biotechnology labs. And so how we can use this program as a springboard for some of those students who might want to work in hospital labs. So we're exploring some of that.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the National Science Foundation grant to create biotech pathways?
Yeah, so Hartford Community College was awarded over $493,000 from the National Science Foundation to support our Biotech Pathways program. And so through that funding is really how we developed our new programs and our new courses. And we were able to purchase state-of-the-art equipment that our students are now using, and that gives them the opportunity to work with the types of equipment they will actually use in biotech industries. So it's really been a springboard for growing our program. The funding is also supporting outreach activities to high schools, so to their teachers, to students, and to students' families. And so we've really been partnering a lot with Harford County Public Schools to increase that path, right, from high schools through HCC to either jobs or further education. And we are doing that a lot through outreach activities for high school teachers and students and their families. And so our goal is really to expand the community's knowledge of biotechnology and then also, you know, let them know that these great career options are out there and how HCC can help them to get those jobs in biotech. So we host Biotech Pathways workshops, which are evening events for students and their parents, for high school students. And the goal is that they learn about biotech careers and what biotech applications, you know, the products, what they do, and then also about HCC's biotech program. And what's been most exciting is that they get to complete a hands-on lab activity and to kind of get the pipette in their hand and feel a little bit what it's like to work as a laboratory scientist. And so we've hosted these workshops at local high schools during the school year last year, and we're continuing this fall and some more in the spring. So we're hoping to have a lot of a turnout. We've hosted over 40 students and family members at this point, I'd say. And then in June, we hosted 16 high school STEM educators from Harford County Public Schools in what's called our Biotech Pathways Teaching Academy. So they got to come in and practice hands-on lab skills and learn about biotech careers and biotech projects so that they could use that information, take it back to their students in the high school, and really start combining and letting students know what's going on earlier on in their education. And then finally in August, and we'll do this again next summer, we hosted 17 Harford County high school students for what's called the Biotech Pathways Summer Institute. And so this was a 5-day program. So students came on campus for 5 full days, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they were in the lab a good bit of that time. And they completed research projects using CRISPR technology, so genetic engineering. And once they had done those, they then developed a poster presentation. And on the last day, we invited family members and HCC staff and administrators and even some of our industry partners to come in. And they had the opportunity to present their posters like you would at a scientific conference to those members of the public and continue to share what they've learned. So it was really exciting. We had biotech advisory board members come in and serve as speakers to kind of let them students know what those jobs are actually like. And it was really just it was a fun experience for all of us, I think.
You feel like you got an overall positive reception from the students and the staff?
Yeah. The feedback we've received, doing some surveys and stuff like that. So the feedback we've received has been really positive. Really, they've enjoyed it. And we've actually had some students that have participated in either the workshops. I think we're at about 8 of our students currently have actually come and enrolled in courses at HCC for biotech.
What's your projected outlook for next year?
Well, we've had over 50 students and parents participate in at least one of our outreach events to date. Now, that ranges from anywhere from 9th grade through seniors and some HCC students as well. And our enrollment in biotech increased from 5 students last year to 15 or more this year. So we've had a pretty good turnaround pretty quickly. And so we're hoping to continue to bring that up and keep moving forward and building our program.
What kind of skills, like intangible skills, do you think it's good for a biotechnician to have?
So they need, first of all, good hand skills, right? Lab skills. They need to be able to do some basic techniques, things like working with what's called a micropipette, so transferring very and measuring very, very small volumes of things. Mm-hmm. They also need to be able to make solutions and to problem solve, you know, beyond the lab skills, the hands-on. They have to have a basic understanding of how cells in the bodies work, because those are, you know, obviously a big piece of biotech. But they also need those soft skills, so to speak. And so employers have told us that they're really looking for those who can communicate well, both written and, you know, oral communication. They want somebody who can write an email. They want somebody who can answer a phone and communicate about their work, you know, in a positive and intelligible manner. They also want individuals who have, you know, good professional behaviors. They show up on time. They do their work. And they really want that. They want individuals who are able to collaborate is a big piece of that. So a lot of times in biotechnology, you're working with people who are not just biotechnology or biological scientists, mm-hmm. but chemists and engineers and physics. And then also, you know, in companies, you have to be able to communicate with marketing and the general public, because you want people to know what your product is. Or you also have to communicate with those who are in finance, because you have to stick to a budget, right? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that our industry partners are saying. These are things that we want you to include in your coursework, you know? And so students will do projects that are related to developing resumes or LinkedIn profiles or into communication and sharing their knowledge with the public. So they develop those ways to talk about science and to share, and then documenting things. You know, my students hate all the detail I make them put in their lab books, but that's probably the biggest critical skill for anybody working in the field of biotech.
Just trying to teach them that it's about being part of a team.
Teamwork is incredibly important, yeah. And also, you know, knowing that, okay, if one group in the lab, somebody's absent and they need their stuff to be taken care of to move on to the next stage, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody jumping in and being willing to help and support each other, I think, is really important too.
What students are generally underrepresented in this field, and how are you recruiting them?
So biotechnology, just like pretty much any STEM, it's those groups that are historically underrepresented, right? Students who identify as Black or African American, American Indian and Alaska Native, Hispanic, Latino, Native Hawaiian, and other Pacific Islanders, just like in a lot of STEM fields, right? And so we're really trying to diversify the biotech workforce, and we're doing that in a couple ways. Our Biotech Pathways workshops are being hosted at the high schools, and the idea is that then students are encouraged to bring their families and to talk about what their career plans are with their families. And we know that parents and family members are often the biggest influence on what a student decides to do with their education career, right? So letting the parents know what these jobs are like is really, really important. And so we really try to get the parents involved, and they're encouraged to pick up those pipettes and do the activities right alongside their students. And we're focusing on our outreach in those schools in Harford County that have had historically majority-minority enrollment or higher proportion of their high school graduates who aren't entering college after graduation. And we're also hosting at rural schools, because in biotechnology, rural areas are considered underrepresented sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. And so those are the areas we've been focusing on, but they're really open to anyone, right? Mm-hmm. But we're trying to get into the communities and make it known what biotech is about and the great career opportunities that are out there. We're also working on campus with the My College Success Network. So that helps us broaden our reach and participation in biotechnology here at HCC. And I'll actually be hosting a workshop about careers in biotech on October 19th for students here at Harford Community College. And hopefully some people will show up we can recruit some more people into the program, because we have a lot of fun.
There are mentions on the website about working with sea phages. What are they, and why work with them?
So sea phages actually stands for the Science Education Alliance Phage Hunters Advancing Genomics and Evolutionary Science Program. So that's a mouthful, right? You know why they call it sea phages now.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a national program that's run by the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. And it was developed to provide students at colleges across the United States with the ability to participate in research as undergraduates. And so it's built into our courses. You know, traditionally, students participating in research, they had to find a lab that had a primary scientist in it, and it's really limited who can get into those positions. Mm-hmm. And so programs like CPhages allow broader participation, right? They allow a bunch of students to now do real research and gain those experiences that are really critical to increasing persistence and success in STEM that we found. Mm-hmm. And so our students are participating in this program that they're discovering new bacteriophages. So bacteriophages are, we often call them phages, okay? And these are viruses that infect bacteria. So, you know, we tend to think of viruses as being really, really bad. You know, biotechnologists kind of have that love-hate relationship with viruses, right? Yeah, because there's a lot of uses for viruses in biotechnology. And phages are actually some that are beneficial for humans because we're looking at ways that we can use this to treat antibiotic-resistant infections. So there's about more than 10 to the 31st bacteriophages estimated to be on Earth, and that's a huge number, right? And they're pretty much found everywhere. They're even in and on you. So these are phages that infect, they just are viruses that infect only bacteria. So they're not harmful to us, but they have potential to really help us. So our students, an introduction to biotechnology and our microbial biotechnology courses participated in the CPhages program. And it's a 2-semester research project for lab. So the whole lab is really centered around them doing this research that nobody really knows the answers to. So in the intro to biotech lab, students are collecting soil samples from around Harford County, so here on campus as well as around their homes, and we're isolating new phages from that, new viruses. And these viruses are likely to have never been found or characterized by anyone else. And so this is novel research, and students are able to name their phages and actually publish their information in online databases. And so it really gives students the opportunity to participate in real research. Then once they get to microbial biotech, they're going to use bioinformatics. And so bioinformatics combines biology with computer programming. And so we find the sequence of the genome, the genes of those viruses. And they start to look at how those virus genes are related and kind of characterize the viruses that way. And students have gone on to present their work at national, state, and local conferences, even just in the last year. So these phages are really kind of a big deal in biotech right now. Many species of bacteria, you know, are developing resistance to the antibiotics that have typically been used to fight infections. And prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of scientists worldwide were really saying antibiotic resistance was the biggest public health problem we were facing. And it kind of took a back burner because of the pandemic, but it hasn't gone away. And in fact, it's getting worse. And we're not discovering new antibiotics to treat these infections that the bacteria have evolved to overcome, right? So people are dying from infections that normally we would have been able to treat 10, 15 years ago. And so phages are really important because they kill bacteria, right? So if we can take phages that kill a certain type of bacteria and put those phages inside the person that has the infection, the idea is it kills the bacteria, but not the person. And so they wouldn't, you know, they can use that in conjunction with antibiotics to really beat back these really terrible bacterial infections. And it's been successful. This is technology that's been around for a really long time, but antibiotics were so easy, so no one was really paying attention to it, right? Yeah. But because antibiotic resistance is really starting to happen, they're looking at it more. And there's a book, The Perfect Predator, that tells the story of a man named Thomas Patterson. And he went on a trip to Egypt with his wife and came back with a really terrible Abomani infection as a type of bacteria that really was not responding to anything they could give. And he was septic. And it's the same bacteria that they call Arachibacter soldiers came back from Iraq with these infections. And so they tried phages for him. His wife was kind of persistent and got approval to test it on him. And he survived and is living and to tell the story today. And it has a connection to Maryland, too, because one of our biotech advisory board partners, Greg Merrill, he's the CEO of Adaptive Phage Therapeutics. And this is a company that is developing bacteriophage therapies to treat infections. So creating these big banks of viruses that whenever a person gets a certain type of infection, they can match the virus that kills that bacteria to the person, send it out to them rapidly, and treat those infections. And they've got larger clinical trials going on looking at treating infections in artificial joint replacements and things like that. So it's really pretty exciting to have students working in a field that's really growing, you know, as far as treatments that hopefully will become something that can really help humanity.
What are some of the other issues, like major issues that you see in the industry that biotechnicians are currently trying to fix, other than antibiotics and cephages?
Right. So we tend to think a lot about medicine, right? But there's really a whole lot more. So, you know, as I mentioned, things like cleaning up oil spills. So they can take bacteria and kind of program them genetically to help clean up oil spills, to process the oil, right, and help clean up the environment. We're looking, again, like I talked about, food sustainability, right? So
agriculture. And
yeah. So agriculture, not just, you know, creating more, you know, hardier plants and things, but also, you know, the things like artificial meats. They're looking at stuff like that. And so you see things like the Impossible Burger, which is really taking proteins that come from meat and putting them into like soy-based products for that give more of us of the experience of eating meat, right? But you can also, they're looking at growing meats, basically taking cells and growing them up in cultures and creating meats from those. So there's still ways to go, I think, before that becomes mainstream. But those are possibilities for combating, you know, hunger in a growing worldwide population, right?
For the students.
For the students, too. Yeah, right, combat your hunger. There's also, like, crazy things. There's a company that is, they're using different biotech technologies and creating their skis so they have better skis, using algae to kind of coat their skis and treat them instead of some of the adhesives and plastics that were used before. So a wide variety of things that you can do with it. And by decreasing the reliance on those traditional plastics, you know, that's really better for the environment as well.
That's cool. See, I never knew that.
There's so much.
But I know earlier you talked about how you felt like COVID-19 put you guys on like a back burner in terms of certain things. But don't you think that the pandemic really took, really allowed you guys to take a break and look at things in a broader scope and take initiative in areas where you thought you were a little bit like lacking or like lazy?
So yeah, so I think it pushed antibiotic resistance research to the back burner, right? But I think it brought so much more biotechnology to the forefront. You know, I think it was expanding in Maryland to start with, but there were a lot of companies involved in the response to the pandemic. So from things like producing better masks that have antimicrobial properties on them, to producing new vaccines, to producing treatments and testing, you know, a lot of our Maryland companies were involved. And I think what happened during the pandemic is it was kind of this all hands on deck, right? And I think the public got to see something in science that they don't normally get to see. And sometimes it was confusing, I think, for people as well, because you got to see the messiness of science. You know, so a lot of the research and development goes on kind of behind the scenes. And people don't get to see like the trial and error that goes into science. And that's a part of it every day. You have to be persistent. You have to keep trying new things and problem solving. So sometimes it seems like, you know, with the COVID pandemic, it was like, well, we give this, you know, we get this kind of piece of information. And then it's like, nope, we're going to try something different. And it looks like scientists don't know what they're doing. But that's actually what scientists do on a regular basis. It's just usually behind the curtain, right? That you don't see it. And so I think it gives the opportunity for people to understand science and what's done on a daily basis a little bit more. We have to problem solve. And sometimes that takes refocusing and rethinking what we're doing in our processes. You guys, you know, people have just gotten to see it. I tell my students all the time, science is messy. You know, sometimes you do everything what you think is the right way to do it, and it comes out a total mess. And that's just what you do. And you go and you start back over again and you problem solve and you keep moving forward. And so I think that's, you know, one of the most frustrating things about science, but also one of the most exciting things about science is that keeping moving forward and problem solving.
Can you talk about the partnership with the Army for the Biotech Pathways program?
Yeah, so we have what's called an educational partnership agreement with the U.S. Army Combat Capabilities Development Command Chemical Biological Center, what's called DEVCOM CBC.
Yeah, it's APG.
Yep, it's at APG. And they're developing materials using biomanufacturing, so using things like bacteria to grow up these products that can support soldiers in the field. And so they're using biomanufacturing, and they're expanding their program over the next few years, their capabilities there. And so the partnership has provided internships for a couple of students already, and DEVCOM CBC employees actually came out and were guest speakers at our summer camp, our summer institute, and also at some of our biotech pathways workshops. And some representatives from APG came into some actual hands-on labs with some of the high school students over the summer. So we've really kind of created this great partnership where we can support, you know, growing the, you know, home growing that workforce that APG is going to be looking for in the next few years, but also them supporting us in how we're educating our students. So it provides a unique opportunity, I think, for that partnership. We're also working with a national organization called BioMade. And so they're kind of a private-public partnership related to the Department of Defense, and they focus on bioindustrial manufacturing. We're now a member of that organization. And really, how can we continue to partner with them and with APG to build that infrastructure in this area for creating the workforce of the future is really what it is. So we're hoping to do some tours at APG for our students and provide some additional training opportunities in conjunction with each other and continue to get student internship opportunities there so they get that hands-on experience.
Nah, most definitely. Now, I know that you try your best to recruit a lot of students, but in terms of staff and faculty, how do you approach that?
So we, I think it's kind of we have three faculty members that teach in the program. They're also part of the grant leadership. So the grant leadership is myself and then also our dean, Dr. Pamela Pape Lindstrom, Dr. Susan Walker, and Ms. Brianna Martin. So we are kind of the core team putting things together, but we also rely on staff from a variety of departments. Our lab staff is amazing. We could not do any of the work we're doing without that kind of support. But we're also working to recruit through partnerships with advising, you know, making sure that advisors know about the program and how to direct students through the program. And then also working with the advisors directly and our students to make sure they're taking the right classes and are on the right track. So because it's a smaller program right now, students get a lot of hands-on advising through either the faculty in conjunction with advising itself. And so I think it's a great partnership that way. We're also working with programs, like I said, like
My College Success Network.
Yep. Yeah. So we're also working with them to kind of get the word out and let students know about these awesome opportunities. So I think there's great opportunities to continue to expand on campus and kind of bring more people into the fold to kind of help support our recruitment efforts.
No, definitely. So how can someone find out more about these programs?
So students can learn more, or prospective students can learn more about the biotech program through Harvard's website, you know, to go to the biotechnology program or certificate program. But there's also a webpage on Harvard's website that is for biotech pathways. So if you just do a search when you go into harvard.edu and look for biotech pathways, it takes you to learn more about the overall program. Mm-hmm. They can also contact me and the other team members through our email, which is biotechpathways@harvard.edu. So biotechpathways@harvard.edu. And that's one of the greatest ways to contact us because we can get back to you and kind of start that communication. And we're located in Aberdeen Hall here on campus. And you can look for the signs in my window and come talk to me anytime.
Well, thanks for coming in, Ms. Madden. I appreciate it.
Thank you. This has been great. I appreciate it, too.
Thanks for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Information about programs offered can be found on the HCC website. Visit go.harford.edu/biotech. You can also email Jackie Madden at jmadden@harford.edu or call her at 443-412-2046. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangoura for conducting the interview and to our editor, Zach Cloyd. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.